Decapod, the podcast for the Roberts Lab NPRB-funded project investigating the effects of bitter crab disease and temperature changes on Southeast Alaskan tanner crabs.
Okay, so I think my last question is just like a general, what does it mean going forward based on the fact that only three crabs survived from in the warm water tank? And was there like a big spike in temperature that killed them all, and should we take that into account when we're looking at the final three that survived? Or
oh god, I still have to give you the temperature data, don't I?
Yeah,
I've done almost nothing with that. So okay, yeah, there was a little bit of difficulty. So the for the project, I figured I needed one heater in the head tank for the thing. So I ordered two, so I'd have a backup. Two brand new heaters. And when they came to Juneau, neither one of them worked. They were both broken. So I contacted the company, and, well, you have to send them back, and then we'll send more. I was like, no, I don't have time for that. So they said, okay, we'll send you two more heaters, and then you send us the broken ones. I'm like, fine. And we'll overnight them. I'm like, okay, there's no such thing as overnight to Alaska. Oh, yes, there is. I'm like, no, really, there isn't. So you need to get them in there as fast as you can. They're like, oh, yeah, no problem. We'll overnight them. A week later, two heaters showed up. They showed up the day that we were supposed to start the temperature treatments. I had to delay the temperature treatments for a day because the heaters didn't show up. So the plan was to, the original plan was to hook the heaters up and learn how much to turn them up, because they just had a dial, to achieve the temperature I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we couldn't do that because they didn't come. So when the heaters did come, I hooked up a heater, turned it up a little bit. Everything's fine. Turned it up a little. Everything's fine. So turned it up little bit over our 24-hour change.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going fine. You turn it up this much, the temperature goes up 2 degrees. This much, 2 degrees. This much, 2 degrees. So we were very close to the target temperature we wanted. So turn it up a little bit more, expecting it to go up like 2 degrees. This is like 1 a.m. or something. Figured, okay, good. I go home. I come back the next morning. It had shot up more than I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, God. So it did exceed. I think we wanted 10 degrees. I think it went to 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned it down. And I, you know, and then the crabs in the warm water tank died over a period of many days.
Okay.
So it's hard to say. If it hadn't overshot by that degree, would that have still happened? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
And then, because the crabs were doing so poorly, I actually dropped the temperature down, I think, from 10 to 9, one more degree, just so we'd have something. So
yeah.
If I'd left it at 10, I don't know if we would have had anything.
Wow.
But, so that part is just all kind of, you know, messy.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a result. It's not quite the result planned on.
Yeah.
And it would have been very interesting to have known what would have happened if we would have had 180 tanks. You know, because the temperature would have gone up on all of them, and who would have died first? I mean, if a hematidium-infected crabs died first, they would have fouled the water for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. We had, so the crabs came in on a Monday. Crabs came into the lab, on a Sunday evening. Damn it, Sunday or Monday? I forget, but the following Saturday we had a huge die-off.
Okay.
Before the temperature treatments. We lost maybe 75 crabs.
Of the 400? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, I mean, we had crabs dying up until that point. Couple here, couple here, couple here. But then I came in one day and was like, oh, Christ. And that actually, unfortunately, is kind of to be expected.
Okay.
I mean,
all the stress that they were under.
Yeah, anybody that couldn't handle a little bit of stress was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been sick, they could have been whatever. And also, they could have been injured during capture. Now, another reason I chose Southeast is because they used pots. And so, injury to the crabs should have been minimal.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Chris Sidden brought them in, he stacked them up in various containers, like 55-gallon garbage cans and totes and all this stuff. And they poke holes in each other with their toes when they're stacked up like that.
Yeah.
So I think we lost a lot more due to injuries than we would have otherwise. And it's because he got such big crabs, he wasn't prepared for that and didn't have adequate containers to be transporting 400 big crabs.
Right. What would have been the ideal transport?
Well, the way he had it planned is he had a fish tote. So there are those large plastic things are called fish totes. And that was one of those was supposed to hold all the crabs on the boat. And then he would have taken them out and put them in coolers and just kind of layered them in, you know, just coolers with burlap or paper towels or something like that. And for a couple hours, they would have been fine. But he had so many, and they just were so big that there's no way. I mean, you can put 100 small crabs in a cooler, or you can put 10 big ones. You know, so we had them just stacked up all over the place. And yeah, when they came in, I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was a shock to the senses. I mean, these were, and that's another problem with the fouling. I mean, you know, you have a big crab dies, think of that biomass versus a little crab dies.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's hard to tell when a crab is dead.
Right. Especially when they're sick.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it's hard to know when to pull it out of the tank and get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And even though these crabs were so much bigger, they're still considered immature. Based on the ratio of...
They can be, yes and no. Okay, so that's probably something else we should talk about again. Now that you've had time to think about the data.
Yeah.
Okay, so this type of crab has something called terminal molt, which means it reaches a point at which it molts to sexual maturity and then it never molts again. And it's done. So, and the males and the females do that. And when it does that final molt to maturity, the claws grow more in males than they would have otherwise if it had just been a regular molt.
Okay.
So there's a disproportionate increase in claw size, chelipet size, chela size, all these crab terms. This is the chela, this is the chelipet.
Okay.
Okay, so chela size in height like this. There's an increase. So you can measure the ratio of the height to the width of the shell, the carapace, and get a number. And crabs that exceed that number are mature or immature. I always get that backwards. Exceed the number are mature and are immature. And the way they do it in Southeast is they just say, yeah, you just take this ratio and any crab that exceeds 0.18 is mature and doesn't is immature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is sort of a back of the envelope calculation based on a study Sherry Timoney did, the hormone lady, on like 50 crabs.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not. So what you really want is 50 crabs, say, per size class, you know, very narrow size classes of carapace width and mature and immatures. And then you develop you take a big look at that and you develop an equation. You know, it's not just a ratio. Southeast has not taken the time to do that.
Okay.
I've talked to Chris about doing that because I suspect that a lot of the crabs that we classified as immature are actually mature. Just this past summer, out at sea, we took on the Bering Sea a lot of measurements of tanner and snow crab claw heights, tanner crab heights. Actually, we just did tanner crabs. And then when we got back, one of the guys went through this whole process of making the algorithm and the equation for the crabs and yada, 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 and basically updating our information because it's all based on growth rate, and growth rate can change over time, right? And they figure by using the old equation that we were using until last year, we were underestimating we were underestimating the maturity of the crabs by like 30%. So approximately 30% of the crabs we thought were immature were actually mature,
Yeah.
Now, that's the things we caught with the trawl survey that doesn't catch things smaller than this.
Oh.
But, you know, still, out of the crabs this big to this big, 30%. So I suspect that in Southeast, you know. So my boss says that this equation they've developed, it's in R, and he says you can take any data set and plop it in, and it'll make an equation for that population.
Okay.
So I would like to get enough data from Chris Sidden to plop into this equation. So at any rate, I would like to get that data from him and get, I mean, and get a better idea of what crabs we have in the project, because that could make a difference.
Yeah.
So we'll work on that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But right now we're just using that simple ratio.
Yeah.
And I bet some of those immatures are mature. I mean, I tried to, when picking the animals, when I could, I stayed away from animals that were near the cutoff point.
Mm-hmm.
But,
from the 400
mm-hmm.
original ones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know how close that cutoff point is.
Yeah.
You know, to what the true value is. And there were a few crabs I had to include anyway, just because of the numbers.
Yeah.
Trying to get enough negative crabs. Oh my god.
Man.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Those qPCRs are going to be really interesting from the starting.
In some of the comment sections of your spreadsheet, I see BCS positive. Is that just a redundancy of saying that that crab?
Depends on which spreadsheet.
Okay.
So, sometimes we get a little sloppy because it's just easier. So, hematidinium is the organism that causes the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Bitter crab syndrome is what you and I can see.
I see.
So, a crab that has bitter crab syndrome is infected with hematidinium, but a crab that is infected with hematidinium doesn't necessarily have BCS.
Okay.
Okay. So, it should always say either hematidinium positive or negative or BCS positive or negative. If it's on, like, the original collection sheets when we were taking blood samples and it says BCS positive, it means the crab had signs that it was sick.
Okay.
And symptoms are what the crab feels, which we have no idea, and signs are what are observable. So a fever is a symptom. A change in shell color is a sign.
Okay.
So everybody says symptoms, but it's really signs.
Okay.
So BCS, you have to be able to look at the crab and say, that crab looks sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. All right.
All right, well, thank you so much for answering all my questions.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, anytime. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Let's see. I think it is time.
31:30.
Yeah.
A lot of crab talk.
Thank you for listening to Decapod, the podcast dedicated to the Tanner Crab Project funded by NPRB. Check out our website at bittercrab.science for more information.